Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 35th verse. It's the last part of our epistle reading for this morning. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will trouble or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or rulers, neither things present nor things to come, nor powerful forces, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, we have a battle in our lives. We face the devil and his hosts. We face the difficulties that sin has brought into this world, that sin has brought into our lives. For many people, it's a time to give up. They throw up their hands in frustration. What can we do? How can we get out of this? They say that they're fighting a losing battle. It just doesn't pay. That's not how we react to these things. In fact, Paul tells us Christ's love makes us more than conquerors. The obvious part of our text is that Christians face difficult trials. Physical trials. Will trouble or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword. Trouble, feeling of pressure, feeling stress. I think all of you have felt stress at one time or another in your lives. You make plans. They don't go as we thought they would. We look to the future with all these kind of ideas and they never happen, or it takes longer than we expected. Stress. Guess what? Your pastor also experiences stress in his life. And I'll give you a real good example. It pertains to you. When I was down in New Carlisle and Pastor Papenfuss accepted the call, I immediately called President Sims. I said, where am I going to go next? He said, I don't know for sure right now. Let me get back to you. And he did. He said, Ralph, he doesn't call me pastor, we're brothers. You're going to Trinity in Saline, Michigan. Oh. Here I'm used to congregations that have about 80 members total, and if they have 40 in church, that's a big attendance. 420 members? 140 in church? And then, oh no, they're using the new hymnal. I've never used that hymnal before. I look up the liturgy, oh no, I got to chant. Yes, I don't know how it's going to work. Stress. But he knew, didn't he? All those concerns that I had fell by the wayside because the Holy Spirit said, I'm placing you here with a specific reason and you will do your work. I'll give you that ability. Stress was gone. I have to laugh. I do a lot of surveys and one of the questions almost always is, what is stressful in your life? I say, nothing. And they just look at me, huh? But stress is really a part of all of our lives. It's a trial that we must endure. Persecution, those who oppose our faith, those who say that they know more than God's word says, those who say that the way to heaven is through good works and God will reward you by eternal life if you do really good works. We say, no, the Bible says it's faith that gets you there, not works. The gay movement. Popular. When God created mankind, he created a man and a woman, and he said, the man will marry the woman, not man, or woman and woman. And so when we speak out against the gay movement, the world, or some of the world, is not happy about it, and they make fun of us. When I worked at Venture, which is a store similar to Walmart, it no longer exists. They overextended themselves and went bankrupt. I had two people in the restaurant that I ran who were gay. One of them was a really good worker. In fact, we had three gay couples in the store. And this guy that worked for me, his partner was also in the store, and his partner would come in and criticize him. And I said to him, I said, don't. Keep your personal ideas to home. Don't bother my worker here. If you continue, I'm going to kick you out of the restaurant. He didn't come back into the restaurant. The gay person was a really good worker, and I respected him for that, but he knew I didn't respect him for his lifestyle. Abortion. Today, any reason you want, you can get one. They forget about the life of that baby that is going to be taken away. We only allow for two reasons in our church, and they better be pretty obvious. Save the life of the mother is the number one. But prove that is it's the last resort. And some of us say rape or incest is a possibility. But that's a last resort. I had one young lady in Urbana. She got pregnant out of wedlock. Then she found out that her baby was deformed. The back of her head was not filling out. And the doctor said, get an abortion. She said, no. I don't want to take that chance. If maybe that baby is born alive, it can be baptized. Well, the baby died before it was born, but she carried it full term. And I had a service for her and that little baby shortly after it was born. A supposedly valid reason for abortion, she said, no. I want that child to have the chance to be baptized. Transgender, sex changes. One pastor I talked to, who no longer is in our synod, made an astounding comment. He talked to this transgender person and he said, when you get to heaven, God will admit that he made a mistake with you. Not so. God doesn't make mistakes. When he creates you, when he makes you a man at your birth, you're a man. If he makes you a woman at birth, you're a woman. You don't have that right to change it just because you think it might be better. Again, we speak of these things and people oppose us because it's not the thing to do today. Physical trials, physical assaults, we don't really see that too much in this country, but in other countries, worshipers have to worship in secret because their lives are in danger. And then sword, violence in the streets. It's becoming more and more prevalent, isn't it? And sometimes, yes, even Christians get caught up in it or are innocent bystanders. Physical trials that we as Christians must face. Then there's the spiritual trials. I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, nor powerful forces, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in creation. Death nor life. Death, when you die, you face the judgment. You face the Father. For many people, that's scary. Even for Christians, sometimes they get a little concerned about it. It can be a trial. Life, we've gone through that. The difficulties of being a Christian in a sinful world. It's there. Angels. The devil's angels. His hosts, who are all over in this world with one goal in mind, to lead us as children away from God. And they're powerful and they're smart. It's a danger we have to face. Rulers. Opposition by powers that be. Paul was one of those at one time, wasn't he? When he worked for the Sanhedrin, criticizing, actually causing the death of many Christians. Rulers today sometimes are more concerned about their own power than about what the Bible says, and they disobey or they oppose God's word and those who follow that word. And he sums it up, or anything in creation. Anything that is there that could make our lives difficult will be a part of our lives. There are difficult trials we must face. But what was my theme? Christ's love makes us more than conquerors. We can't do it. We would lose the battle. But then we have Jesus. Will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How much does God love us? He told his Son, who lived in heaven, had all of his godly powers with him. His Father said, go down to earth. Lay aside most of your powers. Take upon yourself the form of a man. So you are under my laws, which mankind is also under. Laws which I told mankind you have to obey if I am to be your God and you are to be my people. But we can't. We daily sin much. We can't obey God's commands. So the Father said to Jesus, you do it for them. And he did. He lived a perfect life for 33 some years. Never once sinning, standing up for his Father many times, going to his Father, praying to him for strength and encouragement, instructed by the Holy Spirit. We're told as he grew up, he became stronger in knowledge and in wisdom. That was the man part of him, but he never sinned. He had to die. That's why he had to become a man. God demanded a blood sacrifice to pay for the sins of the world. And he loved us so much, he said, I'm going to have my Son be that sacrifice. And so Jesus overcame death with his resurrection after he died on the cross. With his resurrection, he said, now the devil has lost his power. Oh, he'll try, but he'll fail. Because I have defeated him with my resurrection. Death and the devil are gone. Life will be yours. When did he do this? When we were still sinners. It's always wonderful to be good to someone who's good to us, right? Here was Jesus looking at us who daily disobey him, and yet he says, I still love you. And that's why I came to live that perfect life for you. That's why I gave up my life on the cross for you. That's why I overcame death and the devil with my resurrection for you. That's why I am now in heaven ruling the world in your behalf, because I love you even though you are sinners. How does he do that? He's by our side all the time. There's a joke I want to share with you. Thursday night, we had people not quite rolling in the pews, but they were kind of laughing. This father and son, the son, I would guess, maybe about 10 years old. Father's in the front seat in the car, son's in the back seat. All of a sudden, his father slams on the brakes. Whew. I almost hit that car that pulled out in front of me. The boy says, "Dad, were you afraid?" Dad says, "No. Because I know Jesus was with me here in the car, watching over me and taking care of me." The boy says, "Jesus is here in the car right now?" Father said, "Yes, he is." The boy, thinking a little bit, looks around in the back seat and says, "Dad, if Jesus is here, he's not wearing a seatbelt." The point is, we don't see him, but he's there. Every single minute of our lives, he is there to help us when we confront all of these difficult times that will be ours because we're children of God. He will never abandon us. And because he does that, we will be conquerors. Not for what we've done, but for what Christ has done for us. We are in a battle against evil, but we're not alone. Jesus, the victor over death and the devil, is with us. He will see to it that we will win that battle. Indeed, as our text says, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The battle is o'er. The victory is ours. Heaven will be our home. Amen.